Who you spend time with is really important. Your environment is stronger than your willpower. When you hang around successful people, you will become successful too.
I had a thing of every single mastermind I'm on, speak up, just getting your face out there, getting yourself trusted. There's lots of people in the room with lots of money.
Most people make about £36,000 per year in a job. However, you should be making £36,000 per month. How much have you made from deal sourcing in the last 6 weeks?
36 grand in the last 6 weeks, just this year.
I'm sitting down in a moment with Leo Simpson, who in the last 6 weeks has made a profit of £36,000 from packaging and selling deals to investors. He's also buying commercial properties using purchase lease option agreements. The guy just bought a bank. You might be left with an old bank with no planning. And then you've got to stick it on an auction. You've potentially lost a lot of money. Yep. Whereas the way that you've structured it, you've got very little to lose. And in this week's episode, you're going to learn exactly how he's done it, the struggles, the tough times, as well as the upsides. And you'll be able to navigate through this so that you can do the same thing too. Enjoy. Leo Simpson, thanks for coming.
Nice to be here, Samuel.
So you're now a full-time property investor developer.
Absolutely.
And you've managed to raise over £1 million, got started. Well, how did it all start? When did we meet and when did this all begin?
Yeah, so, well, my property journey started back in 2017, actually. So my wife bought a house and we had it on a mortgage, did a live-in, and then within a year, we flipped it and made 70 grand.
Nice.
So, like, I knew that there was money in property, had my own businesses. I've been an entrepreneur for years. And then we bought a house up on the Isle of Lewis. So putting an offer there, 35% below market value. And secured a property up there, and that was a project. You know, it was really run down, and that's where you came in. I started watching YouTube videos on property, on how to. I didn't know how to do up properties. You know, it was a very. We just restored in the first one that we did. We just restored all the Victorian features, and brought out what was ready there. But this was a back to brick refurb. Mm. So, you know, started looking online, saw you popping up on YouTube, watched one of your debates, and then came along to a crash course. And that's where it's all started for me.
And I remember as well, when you came to the crash course, we spoke, you had a bit of money saved for the refurb, but you chose to instead put that into your education. And
that's
you
right.
joined the academy and became a fully fledged academy member. Looking back, good decision, bad decision?
Great decision. Yeah, I made that money back very, very fast anyway. I remember coming on with my goal was to make the money back. And Ibby said, no, that's not your goal. He was like, you know, your mindset's going to change when you join the academy. You're going to make a lot more than your money back when you come on here. I put the money in thinking that 12 grand, put this down, learn how to save 12 grand on the project refurb. And that's how I kind of justified it.
So you just thought, if I can just save 12 grand, which I'm sure you did, you've then, it's almost like it's free.
Yeah, 2.5 years later, I've got like a new family, learned a ton, and I'm doing much bigger stuff now.
How much have you made from deal sourcing in the last 6 weeks?
36 grand in the last 6 weeks, just this year.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible. So there we go. That's like over 12 grand.
Exactly.
What you pay for the academy, you're making a month now. Talk to me then about how you're raising finance for your deals, because you've managed to raise over £1 million. One of the biggest questions I get asked is, I can find the deals, but I don't have the money. And what you've done really smart is you've not only learned how to package and sell deals, and you're doing that really successfully, but you also know how to raise finance.
Yes.
So how do you raise finance? How did you raise £1 million?
It's all about trust. It's building your brand. It's putting yourself out there. The first way that I ever raised any money was you brought me onto a mastermind, and I had a digital marketing company then, and I did some training on digital marketing on your mastermind. And somebody contacted me after that. I'd been putting myself, I had a thing of every single mastermind I'm on, speak up. Every time I'm at an event, stand up, just getting your face out there, getting yourself trusted. There's lots of people in the room with lots of money. And you know, if you're speaking up constantly, you're going to get noticed and they're going to start to trust you and just talking about what you're doing and everything and just being really transparent. And I got contacted after the mastermind, and that was the first time I raised almost six figures.
Wow.
From just literally speaking up on the mastermind, showing I knew my stuff, and that I was an investable person.
So if you on the mastermind, let's say you say, I've done this deal, I've got this deal, I'm doing this, and you're just talking with me on the mastermind over Zoom, And then what people are reaching out to you afterwards saying, oh, that was really interesting. Can we have a coffee? Can we chat? Maybe we can do some business. How are you then taking them from that situation to then actually transferring six figures over to your solicitor's account to do a deal?
Yeah, great question. I actually, it was easy on this one. I had a couple of Zoom calls with the guy, and he was asking me about what projects I had in the pipeline. And I could tell that he was looking for something to invest in. He had money, but didn't have, you know, lots of people have money, but they just want a JV with somebody. They want their handheld with something.
Or they haven't got the time.
Or they haven't got the time, exactly. So I basically just leaned into what projects I had in the pipeline and what my goals and visions were. And he was like, how can I support? So, you know, I closed him on, I had a property that was that needed a back-to-back refurb, and we had discovered some dry rot in the roof. The roof needed replacing on the porch, and I needed to raise money for that. So we had a whole idea for a holiday let complex and things like that. We actually ended up flipping it, but you know, we can talk more about that.
And even your first flip, 70 grand tax free.
Yeah.
The confidence that gives you, and also
absolutely,
it's very difficult to go back to a normal job, or when you've just done 70 grand on a flip almost accidentally.
Yeah.
You know, without any training, you just buy a house, do it up, sell it, make 70 grand.
Yeah, I literally accidentally got into property.
Yeah. To then go and spend a whole year working 120 hours a month to make 50 grand, it kind of doesn't make sense. And you've done like stuff with land developments.
Yeah, we've got some really exciting stuff now. So I bought some land up near where the house was. We were going to we had this whole plan for a holiday let. I ended up selling the land at a profit. But at the moment we're doing developments, commercial to resis, and doing bigger stuff than I could have imagined on that. I mean, what do you want me to go into?
Well, tell me about the bank that you're buying at the moment.
Yeah, so we've got a 2-year lease option agreed, and we're just going through legals at the moment on that. I negotiated it down from, they anchored me at 39,000 a year, and that wasn't happening, and I managed to get them down to 10,000 a year on a 2-year lease option, so we can buy it when we've got planning on it, to change it from a Class C to C1.
And are you going to do that with planning permission or permitted development?
Planning permission.
So this bank, whereabouts is it located?
It's in the heart of the Cotswolds. It's in Stroud. It's about 5 minutes away from where I live.
So you've agreed to pay 10 grand a year to lease it.
Yeah.
But then after 2 years, you've got the option to buy it for how much?
So it goes up to 425 on the first. So it was up for 525. They dropped it to 475. And it'd been on the market for 8 months. And first of all, we had an investor, and we were going to... because what I've learned is it's harder finding a really great deal than it actually is finding the cash to raise it.
Yeah, it's true.
So we had an investor on board, and we were going to buy it cash for 412,750, subject to planning. They gave us 3 months to get planning on it, which was an absolute joke.
Yeah.
It was the end of the year as well. They gave us 3 months to get planning on it, and then it goes up to 425. So I negotiated that we have 2 years to get planning on it. And anytime in that 2 years, we have the exclusive right to buy that.
Yeah.
And you know, what do you want per month for us to have that exclusive right to buy? They anchored at 39, managed to get them down to 10 grand per year. So essentially, we've just de-risked the whole deal completely.
Yeah.
So we're taking a different route now. We don't need the cash from the investor.
Yeah.
And we will only buy it when it's got planning on it.
Because the thing is, from your perspective, the worst case, if you're buying a bank, and you're buying it, and then you're going to hope to get planning.
Yeah,
you might be left with an old bank with
exactly.
No planning, and then you've got to stick it on an auction. You've potentially lost a lot of money.
Yeah.
Whereas the way that you've structured it, you've got very little to lose, because if you don't get planning, you won't buy it.
Exactly, and you know, you've got mentoring calls at any point.
Yeah.
On this one, I booked a mentoring call. I like to run things by a few friends, Simon and Tatiana. I was on the call to them. And they said, why don't you pitch your lease options? It wasn't actually even my idea. It was one of the mentors' ideas on the academy. And I thought, do you reckon they'd take that, you know? So, pitched the lease option, managed to negotiate it, and happy days.
What are you putting planning in for? What are you hoping to get?
We're hoping to move it. At the moment, it's a Class C. So there's two titles. When I viewed it, it was only really marketed as one title. You had to dig deeper to find out that there's actually two titles involved, and there's a split between. So the front part is like a traditional looking bank, and then the back part, we want to convert to 7 apartments and run it as an apart hotel.
Mm.
So we'll sell off the front title. That's the plan, to raise the money for the development finance, because you've got to put down, you know, 20 to 30% to raise the development finance.
So it'll be a no money down
deal. It'll be a no money down deal.
Wow. Yeah. Did you dream that you'd be doing that? Did you ever think that you'd be buying banks? And
no. About last year, I just started thinking a lot bigger, you know, and that was all to do with cutting off from things. I think a lot of the time we just struggle with focus, and you know, there's all these exciting things going on. You come into the academy, you're learning all these new strategies and everything, and you just need to nail down. And as soon as I nailed down what I actually wanted to do, and do bigger stuff, I started attracting those people around me that wanted to do bigger stuff as well.
Yeah.
And you know, this year we've just taken off.
How much do you think your profit cash flow per month from the bank once you've bought it and you've converted it?
It's all subject to planning. So it's all if, buts and maybes really, on the SA side of things. But we should be looking at profiting about 30 grand a month. Yeah.
Tell me about lease option agreements. Tell me about how that works.
Yeah.
How you're finding people that are selling their house to you, where you're structuring it without putting any money down. How does that work? What is a lease option agreement?
So a lease option agreement is when you agree a price to buy it, and then you set the terms. And it's really a blank canvas. It's asking them the questions, you know, finding out the seller's situation. If they don't need the money right now, why pay them the money right now? So a lot of the times you can just agree the price, but then pay it in 2 years, 5 years, 7 years, 10 years, as you know yourself. But it's essentially the exclusive right to buy it. So it comes off the market. You're paying, we're paying 800 a month or whatever. And any time in that 2 years, we can buy it.
So tell me about outside of the bank, other lease options that you've done or you've got going on, because I know there's a few.
Yeah, so we've got the main one is we've got a guy, he wants to let go of his portfolio of five properties all down in Southampton area. And we've sat down with him now, had lots of coffees, worked out his whole situation, because it's about finding out what they want. We don't want to take properties off somebody if they need the cash for anything. So sometimes we can come to an agreement, maybe they just need a little bit of cash. And we worked out that this guy, he just needed 300 grand for personal reasons. And so as long as we can get him that 300 grand quickly, then we can take potentially the whole five of his properties, his whole portfolio off of him and agree a price and maybe buy one a year. So it's all in negotiation stages at the moment. It's not through to legals or anything. But we've viewed the properties, we've sat down with them, we're figuring out a plan, and it's looking pretty hopeful we're going to get these five on the lease options. And then we'll
what's the GDV of the five?
The GDV of the five is roughly about 250 each.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So you're talking about 1.25 million. Mm-hmm. But he just needs a few hundred grand. So you're and also a lot of people, they don't want to sell off their whole portfolio for tax reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you've got five or six properties, if you sell them all in one go, you're going to get clobbered with capital gains tax.
Exactly.
Whereas if you just sell one a year, you're not going to be above the threshold. It's going to save you a lot on capital gains tax. So finding portfolio landlords that want to sell their whole portfolio, they're not in a mad rush.
Yeah.
They're tired. They don't want the portfolio. You can agree to buy one a year over the next 6-7 years. But then in the meantime, you can use the cash flow, especially if you're doing it as SA or HMO.
No, we'll be probably looking at social. We've got some good relationships going on with the social housing providers in Southampton at the moment. Our relationship has come. So social housing is a big one that we're trying to unlock in Southampton.
Yeah.
And then further afield. We've got friends in further afield, but we've been sitting on calls with the council. We were trying to help this guy who's got a fatal illness sell his £3 million block of 24 flats in a really, really prime location in Southampton. And we managed to secure £500,000 a year contract for social housing, and he's getting 24 grand a month at the moment. So we're just figuring out how best to do this, whether we take it on ourselves, we don't know yet, whether we manage it for him, whatever we're going to work it out. We've secured a 3-year contract, £500,000 a year. So social housing is a priority for us with this portfolio. And then a couple of them will be HMOs.
Yeah. How do you determine when you find a deal, whether you're going to, number one, buy it yourself, which you've done many times.
Yeah.
Number two, package it and sell it. Or number three, partner with somebody, raise the finance and do it as a joint venture. How do you determine?
That's a great question. I mean, we're saying no a lot more than we're saying yes. You know, you've got to learn to say no because it's so tempting to say yes to everything.
Yeah.
Really, it's we get so many deals come across our table. Once you've done some, you've had some successful projects. It's so hard to say no, and that's what we're struggling with at the moment. You know, we don't want to over leverage ourselves ever. So really, it's just working out if it's going to work for us. You know, location wise, numbers wise. And we've got our goals laid out clearly. So some of them we don't want to pass on, but we have to. And that's happening a lot.
That's right, good when right it now. Happens.
Yeah.
I loved it when I was finding deals when I had like two or three properties that I was buying and they were in legals. You've got your all your lease options and your different things you're buying. But then you just come across a banger and you're like, but you really, you can't take it on because you're too tied up. You don't want to spread yourself too thin. And then when you're selling that deal, it's so easy to sell because you're speaking to investors and you're like, look, I'm on a level with you.
Yeah.
I wish I didn't have to sell this. Yeah. It's just come across my desk from an agent. It's off market. I'm going to let it go for $5,000, but it's going to pain me. So what do you want to do? And they'll just sell like that. Whereas when you're a deal sourcer, but you haven't got any properties yourself and you're just trying to deal source, it's a lot harder.
Yeah.
Whereas when you're coming from a position of abundance and you're actually buying properties,
definitely,
deal sourcing can, I mean, the fact that you've made $36,000in 6-7 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, that's mad, actually. That's a lot of money. How much are you charging as a finder's fee on average?
So for our bespoke clients, which is typically BRR deals, that'd be $5,000.
Right.
And then if it's like a rent to SA, usually, I get passed a lot of rent to SAs because my background was in service accommodation for the past 5 years. So I get passed a lot of rent to SA deals. We don't really want to be dealing with rent to SA deals a lot, but I mean, $3,000's $3,000. So we'll charge $3,000 for those. But a lot of the time we're working with investors and we only take on a few investors where we're looking for, like, you know, absolute bangers.
But if you're charging $5,000 for a BRR, 36 grand in 6-7 weeks sounds like a lot, but really that's just one deal a week.
Exactly.
One deal a week for 7 weeks, 35 grand.
Yeah.
And one deal a week actually is not that much.
And we've got investors on rolling, you know, so my business partner, Adam Barker, he used to work on the yachts. So we're tapping into one of our guys on Bespoke. He's a great client. He's got like a certain set of goals. He wants to buy 10 houses and we're just on a rolling with him. So we've found one, we're project managing it. So we're going to get an extra $50,000 refurb. So we're getting 10% of that.
Yeah.
So, you know, you only need a few really good clients. You know, deal sourcing is not really our focus. It's just the great ones. They're all money out BRRs, all the ones that we've sold, you know.
It's so just on the side, making the you side. $5,000 a week.
Exactly.
You'll take it.
Yeah, so.
That's amazing.
And we've got this exclusive relationship with him where we're just his private property shopper. So we've just agreed that if we've got any that come along that we can't take on ourselves, then we'll pass them on to you.
You don't need that many investors, do you, either?
No.
You just need some quality ones.
Yeah.
And that goes back to the power of the academy.
Yes.
Which is networking. And talking of the academy, mentoring, my mom has been on your back.
Yeah.
Trying to get you to, she was hounding you a year ago.
To get rid of my my digital marketing company. But, you know, I've done digital marketing for the past 10 years. It's really hard to let go of things that you know, well, you think they're secure, but it was actually more feast and famine, you know. Yeah. And she said, you know, we sat down in person at an event and she said, look, what are you still doing? Like doing your website marketing agency for, and I was like, yeah, you know, Sue.
Sounds just like my mom.
She was like, just sell a few deals a month or just do this. So yeah, I mean, that as soon as I've cut that off, that's when things have really exploded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think some people, it's like a safety blanket.
Yes.
It's all they know.
Yeah.
It's safe. It's comfortable. They get a bit of money from it. But when you sometimes you just got to cut that, and then it frees so much time to then focus on where the actual real money is.
The transferable skills that have come from that, you know, it was very sales heavy. My background's very sales heavy, marketing, branding. You know, just got 8 million views on my Instagram reel.
I saw that.
So you're like,
congrats.
And I'm just getting a consistent millions of views on my Instagram. That's massive for like getting investors because it's just about being trusted. The more exposure you've got, the more you're building your brand. I think we need to really, in the property space, lean into building our personal brand. You know, these companies that have like logos, you know, you're not going to get known. You're not going to be investable because people don't know your face.
Mm.
So since I've been really focused on growing my personal brand in the property space, investors are coming to me all the time.
How's life changed for you? Because I know your wife has left her job. Mm-hmm. You've left your business. Mm-hmm. You're financially free. How's life changed?
It's hard to even put into words, you know. My life is absolutely transformed through property. All of our dreams are coming true, really. We've just found out we've got a sixth baby on the way. Six in 6 years as well.
I can't get my head around six babies in 6 years. That means every time your wife would have a baby, within a few weeks, she would become pregnant again.
Yeah. We said when we got married, we wanted to have 10 kids and homeschool them all. And we're six down.
60% of the way.
Yeah, yeah.
How?
My wife's just an absolutely amazing woman.
She must be.
You know,
do you homeschool them yet?
Yes.
Your homeschools?
Yeah, well, she does. I can't take any credit for that. You know, she's a rock. But she's my absolute rock. You know?
Why did you decide to homeschool them?
So I'm Christian. I don't believe what's going on in the schools.
I homeschool.
Yes. Yeah, amazing.
Yeah. Pulled them all out. I've got four, so I'm not quite there. But.
Yeah, it's so good when your mentor's like so aligned with. I feel so like-minded with you. You know, we could not put our children into schools. You know, that would just. We're called to be parents. You know, and we would do everything we could to homeschool them, no matter what it takes. What they're learning in schools today and what they're not learning is.
Are you going to teach them financial literacy?
Absolutely. And we're going to get private tutors in. Yeah. We're going to give them the best education that we possibly can.
Some people say that, oh, but what about the social life and stuff like that? But no. My kids that are homeschooled, the amount of clubs they go to, boxing, judo, the girls go ballet, they got more friends than ever.
Spot on. And we've got a great church, you know, a great homeschooling network. And when you've got so many children and every year my why gets bigger, you know,
with another kid.
It's just been bang, 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 bang. Yeah. So children just make everything fulfilling. You know, property, the money's great. The people are great. Being around people with like just big goals and all our conversations. But the fulfillment part for me and the purpose is the children and being a Christian and my giving back and my why for the future.
It's not all been easy.
No,
you've had some rough patches, which obviously we've walked mm-hmm. through with you. Mm-hmm. What's been the hardest moment over the last year or two in the journey of property and business?
Yeah, so when I was on the academy, I found my mum had cancer and she was caught at stage four. She was only 48, and she was caught too late. You know, it was fatal, and she didn't want to take chemo either. So she lived it out and. A year later, I was actually on the phone to Ibby at the time, and I found out she passed away. And that was really hard. You know, she was too young to go. She was a beautiful woman. And when I found out that, I didn't want to attend any networking events. I didn't want to go on any masterminds. I didn't want to... I was going for a really, really rough patch. And I kind of just thought, you know, the academy's too... Why are they going to care? The support I got the academy is amazing for, you know, the knowledge, the network, the friends you make, the mentors, all of this and growing our businesses. But I've seen the side where they've actually helped me grieve. You know, Aquia was just amazing. Ibby and Huslin, massive shout out to them. Yeah. They've supported me the whole way. And, you know, I don't think it would have been a very different, I probably would have closed up if I wasn't getting those constant checking calls to see if I was okay, and they really helped me grieve through it and get back out. So that was coming back out to the networking events and kind of like pretending I was okay, and when I hadn't really got through it was probably the hardest time coming back from that. But I've become so resilient from that. I think I can go through anything, you know, and it's not going to stop me. So massive shout out to you and all your team, Samuel, for, on a personal note, for what I went through and how you helped me come back into the room. And now, you know, where I am, I wouldn't have even dreamed of being able to come back.
Yeah, well, that's heartwarming, man. And I'm sorry about your mom. That's obviously tragic. Mm-hmm. And yeah, these things, setbacks can hit hard.
Yeah.
This is life. And I think, you know, we certainly know that on the academy and our mentors and everyone's well-trained. But I'm glad that you didn't quit.
No.
I'm glad that you did persevere, because actually when you came back, you did come back stronger.
Mm-hmm, definitely. I'm more determined now than ever to give my children the best future. You know, it's been hard for us as a family, but property's definitely helped. It's taken away that financial burden for us, and you know, we could be going through so much more if we weren't.
And the way the world is now, you can't have just one member of the family working generally, because even if you're on a good salary, if you're making 50 grand after tax, what's that, like 36?
Yeah.
You can't live on 36 grand if you've got six kids.
Yeah.
You can't. So what happens is both parties have to work. But then if you have kids, you've got to pay for them to go in childcare, which kind of sucks, but it's also really expensive. Mm-hmm. So the system is flawed. And I think a lot of people just accept it. But reality is the standard of living is going down and down and down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now if you go on like Spare Room and you look at the rooms available, it's worse than a prison cell. And people are accepting that and paying a grand a month in London for a room worse than prison. And that's just becoming the norm. But actually, I mean, one of the reasons that I do what I do and teach and have the academy is to say, that's not accept. We're not standing for that. We want to live a good life. It's not about living a bling life and having Lamborghinis and yachts, but we want to be able to provide financial independence for our family. We want to be able to spend time. If we want to take our kids out of school, we want to be able to have the financial security and backing where we can. We don't have to let the government raise our kids.
Absolutely.
I think it's really important. Yeah. So I'm really proud of you, mate.
I'm big on that with you, yeah.
Yeah, and I think you've done super well. And the fact that you and your wife are working as a unit and she's raising the kids and homeschooling them while you're selling these deals and buying properties. Yeah. Respect, man. I'm really inspired and I've loved this interview. So thank you so much.
Thank you.